Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sissy. I appreciate it. God bless you. Thanks for your encouragement. Well, I guess we'll never know until we get to heaven what our rewards are, huh? I guess many people are going to be shocked. I hope I'm shocked in a good way, not a bad way. Oh, my. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else have anything? Uh-oh. Looks like we got Joshua is going to try his mic this week. Go ahead, Joshua. See if it'll work. Go ahead. You got the mic.
Well, hello, everyone. Good to actually be able to verbally say hello to everyone. You know, the Lord's really been speaking a lot to me the last few weeks about, you know, a lot of everything that's been being taught in this fellowship for the last couple of years. And, you know, I spent quite a bit of time just really listening via, you know, through an iPod, just never having a chance to actually come in. It's been such a blessing just being able to, you know, able to come in and join in the fellowship, you know, between everybody from Dan to Sister Annabelle, just everyone who, you know, brings a word forth in this room, just been a great blessing to me. And, you know, it's the next best thing, I guess, if I can't physically be with, you know, with a fellowship since I left the church system. It's, you know, really, you know, been through a roller coaster, I guess, you know, spiritually. But just a little testimony. Won't go into great depth, but, you know, since I got saved, you know, I think I've been through quite a few different deceptions. And starting out in a Baptist church, you know, and one of the biggest ones, you know, we speak a lot in this, about in this room as well, is, you know, that's truly dangerous, is just the once saved, always saved. And wasn't so much the Calvinist view, but, you know, it was this the, you know, once saved, always saved. And, you know, went through that for a few years and fought against everybody who really tried to bring me out of that. And did come to a point where I just was going to told God I would receive whatever he had for me through his word. And that's when everything really truly opened up. And I could see throughout the scriptures the, you know, the lies that had been taught and, you know, by men. And, you know, God truly showed me and, you know, set me free from that. And it's just, you know, as I read the scriptures, it's all over the place. You know, the truth about salvation and, you know, it's not an anything goes. You know, you sin, there's a penalty for that sin. So, you know, and then I think I might have swung all the way to the other end of the pendulum and, you know, into the spectrum. And, you know, we ended up in a charismatic fellowship for quite some time. And that got about as, you know, it came to the point there where it was the craziness, you know, the false signs and wonders. God finally, I guess, knocked me upside the head and showed me the truth of that. And that was about the time that the fellowship I was a part of, you know, dissolved. And, you know, I completely left the church system. And, you know, I truly praise God, because it was just about that time I had come across Zion's trumpet and just seen truth after truth. And, you know, everything that's been coming forth out of this fellowship truly just bears witness in my spirit. And I've been reading the word and just really praying lately, and God's been showing me a few things. And I just thought I would read a few few scriptures tonight that really showed me, you know, about pressing on to perfection. And in Numbers 21, I'm just going to read a few verses there, starting in verse 2. It says, "And Israel made this vow to the Lord. He said, if you will deliver this people into our hands, we will totally destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to Israel's plea and gave the Canaanites over to them, and they completely destroyed them and their towns. And so the place was called Hormah." And I had written a few notes down about that I thought I would just go ahead and read. And there was a few other scriptures after that and Deuteronomy I thought I might read. But, you know, it said Israel made a vow to the Lord. It says, if you will deliver this people into our hands, we will totally destroy their cities. And I think that one of the key words there is, you know, totally. You know, they had to totally destroy their cities. That's, you know, the vow they had made. And the Lord listened to them. And Israel not only realized they had to actually go to war and fight their enemies, but they made a vow to totally destroy the land. And in the same way, we as Christians must daily go to war and fight our spiritual enemies. You know, of course, Dan spoke about this many different times, but, you know, it's the truth. We cannot sit by passively and expect to overcome. if we had, if we believe we have to overcome in the first place, which many don't, but we have to fight, and it is such a fight that it can be wearisome a lot of times. But we know, if we can just look at the end outcome of daily going to war and fighting, we know we can press in and persevere with the help of the Lord. So we must work together with God to not only defeat our enemies, but to completely destroy the cities. A great book I had read, that helped me out a lot. One of them anyway was Restoring the Soul, and we must totally destroy those areas in our soul where we allow demon spirits to traffic, and we must make a deliberate effort with the help of Jesus to totally destroy those areas. And I think that's, if we could apply this spiritually, is what, Israel said they would do to these cities, is to totally destroy them. If we leave any ounce of space in the soul for, demons to traffic and manipulate us and do what they do, trying to destroy us, they will. We have to destroy every last bit of area they have to actually work in us and totally put on the new man in that area. So, and as I continue to read, I come across Deuteronomy 7, which the whole chapter and is just amazing when you can start applying this stuff spiritually and trying to apply it to your life. But I've highlighted just a few different verses here, but it says, verse 2 says, "And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them, you must destroy them totally." So once again, it says we must just totally destroy them. We can't make any treaty with them. We can't show any mercy. "Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons to take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire." I mean, over and over, it's telling us again and again. We can't leave any area of our soul subject to Satan. And we have to fight our flesh as well and our fleshly desires, but, he's going to use those as well. But we also read in Scripture that, not to give the devil a foothold. I mean, that's exactly what that's doing if we do not totally destroy them. Looking down at verse 16, it says, "You must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look on them with pity, and do not serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you." And that could apply in a lot of different ways. I mean, even if there's people in our lives that are, a snare to us, if it could be family members, it could be friends, it could be whoever, other Christians. I mean, it is, so it's an individual case with every single one of us, and that's why we have to be led by the Spirit, every single day, seeking to know the will of God and the wisdom of God so we know who it is or what it may be that's trying to be a snare to us. And another thing that really blessed me is if I go down to verse 22, it says, "The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you." I mean, that's right there, the process of sanctification. And that's as we strive and give God our all and with his help, but it's going to be little by little. So, if we try to, it can be overwhelming if we think we have to do it all at once. If we, if we feel like we have to reach perfection tomorrow, which, would be awesome, but, it's little by little, and he's, trial by trial, we're going to go from glory to glory. And, it's just encouraging to know that if there are things we're still struggling with, the Lord will help us, overcome that. We just have to have that, the attitude of perseverance and not giving up for anything. And then if I just go down into verse 25, just to finish up, it says, "The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver and gold on them. Do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you like it will be set apart for destruction. Utterly abhor and detest it, for it is set apart for destruction." And we have to get to the point where all sin is absolutely as detestable to us as it is the Lord. And not only just the obvious sins, but there's things clearly in life with each of us, which may vary from person to person, but there's things that may not be necessarily sin, but the Lord is trying to get us to separate from the world, and there's certain things in each of our lives that God wants us to separate from. And in that case, that is something we must separate from, or once again, it can ensnare us and be used by Satan and demons to distract us. Even simple things, as you know, that could cause us just to be apathetic and, you know, spiritually lazy. So, you know, that's just really a few things the Lord's been making, you know, real to me lately. And that's just, once again, it's just been a blessing. You know, I can't really wait for, you know, the room to open back up, and, you know, whenever the Lord has that happen in the next month or so. And yeah, I truly appreciate every one of you guys. And Dan, you know, once again, just definitely be praying for you guys, you know, for you. And I'm sure everything will go well. So God bless you guys.
Amen. Good word, Joshua. Good word. You got the warrior spirit, brother. Amen. Take no prisoners. Don't settle for defeat. With God's grace, beat back the enemy till he's dead. He's no longer a threat. That's why Christians aren't overcoming right now. They're making peace with the enemy. They're making pacts with the enemy. They'll settle for a partial defeat. And those enemies come right back 2 days, 4 days, 2 weeks later. They come right back. You got to fight that thing till you got your foot on it and it's weak and you got it under your foot forever. I'm really glad you shared that, brother. Glad to hear your voice. Nice to hear your voice. I'm glad you got your mic working. Sister Jenna, you got the mic again. Go ahead.
Hi again. Along with what Joshua was saying, my mom and I were reading the scripture this morning, and Hebrews 12:1, which we all know fairly well, but wherefore seeing we also are encompassed about a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I had always thought the word beset meaning something that held us back, and that's not exactly what it means. I found out because we looked it up in the dictionary, and that means to cover or set thickly, to attack from all sides. So again, here is another scripture that talks about fighting. We have to fight until the death, because it's either us or them, and I certainly don't want it to be me. So that was really cool that we saw that true meaning to that scripture. Also, we have some here who are, I see that they're in the process, and, you know, there's a good possibility of some large sin. Well, I see some areas that they need to deal with, but I realize that, you know, I need to be led by the Spirit, and not just lay it all on them, because it'll be too much. And so I'm really seeking discernment and wisdom on how and when to bring this forth to them. And that was just a huge, huge thing that we've been going through. And it's hard because I feel like they don't have a hatred for Satan and religious spirits. And, you know, do you have any advice, anyone, if they are not in that place? Obviously, I can't make them be that way, you know, so I don't know how to make it more clear than what I've done, but I guess I'll just, you know, keep being led by the Spirit here and see what transpires as we continue to talk with them. But so yeah, if you have any insight there, that would be great.
Okay, Jenna, thanks for the questionnaire and your testimony. Let me tell you something. First of all, a hatred for Satan has to come as the backside of the coin of your love for God. If you don't really love God, you can't hate Satan. That's one thing. Number two, really the biggest way people get into a place they start really hating Satan is when they understand he's destroying God's people. Christians don't care if Satan destroys the sinners. They're already dead. They're already going to hell. And half of them believe in radical predestination election, so they half of them believe all the sinners are destroyed by Satan. We're predestined to be destroyed anyways. It doesn't matter. You got to get people off this predestination election thing and the eternal security thing, and once they get their eyes open and see people, especially if somebody they love, is destroyed by those demons, is destroyed by Satan, destroyed by sin, that goes a long way to helping them get a hatred in their heart for Satan. See, if you don't think Satan can destroy you or your family, your friends, or anything like that, then no matter what happens and how bad your life gets, how much sin they get involved in, how much they're destroyed spiritually, it won't matter, because in the end you think it's all going to turn out. Unless you really understand that Satan can destroy Christians and actually see him and perceive him destroying Christians, it's very hard to hate Satan. But once you get free from that eternal security thing, and this predestination, this whole horrible overemphasis of election and predestination, and you understand that Satan is destroying multitudes and multitudes of people who are once a child of God, then it's much easier for a hatred for him to dwell up in you, okay? You see what I'm saying? You got to understand that he's destroying people before you can hate what he's doing. Because if you don't understand he can destroy people and you think everything's going to turn out for everybody in the end, then who cares what Satan does? You know, he's just like God's least leash. You know, he might give you a little nip here and there and scratch you a little bit of the leg, but he can't hurt you. You know, and therefore, he doesn't destroy anybody in the end, and therefore, it's hard to hate what he does, you see? And they don't think that the unsaved, they don't care about the unsaved. The unsaved are damned. Let Satan devour them. Let Satan destroy their lives. Let Satan turn into possessed, insane people and have them all stuck away in an insane asylum. They don't care, because they believe they're destined to hell anyway. So, but if they can get it in their brain and understanding the perception that he is destroying God's people, your brothers, your sisters, people who were once in God's family are now out of God's family and on the way to hell because of what he's done. That goes a long way to put that hatred in for him. You know, a psalm says, ye who love the Lord hate evil. I can't remember that. I think it's a Proverbs. I can't remember. It's in the Proverbs or Psalms. But ye who love the Lord hate evil. There's an instruction to hate evil. It says, the more you love God, the closer you are to God, the more you will hate evil. And pretty soon you get down to the root of that evil, which is the serpent. Okay, that's the only advice I can give. Try and get their minds on try and point them to the fact that the devil's destroying their brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, if you can. Some people, you can't do that because they're so brainwashed by eternal security and election and predestination and all that junk. You know, they'll never see it. You know, so that's basically my only advice right now. Anybody else have anything to share with her? Go right ahead. Feel free. Okay, good, great. You're welcome. Amen. I don't know how you're going to overcome the devil if you don't hate him. I don't know how you're ever going to come a sin or some kind of bondage you're in unless you hate it. That's why people can't get free from the things that give them pleasure, from sexual lust and different perversions, from drugs and different things that give them physical, even emotional, pleasure. They like it. It gives them something they want. And so they can't get free from it because they can't hate it. You got to hate your sin and hate what it's doing to you and hate the devil and what he's doing to you before you can fight him with the kind of tenacity and go for the jugular every time. See, I've seen many, many people in my life get destroyed by Satan. Many people walking in the high calling, walking in third phase truth, go from the highest mountain peaks in the spirit down to the gutter. And they're dragging God's name in the gutter, and the devil has them in the mud, in the gutter, totally lost and possessed. That's why I have a hatred for him. And I go for the jugular every time I'm in a battle for somebody's soul. Over Satan, I go for the juggler. Every time I go for the juggler, there's no other way to win. Okay, amen. Who's next? We got a few more people in here, guys. Come on. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. I want to say again, that was a great word, Joshua. Thank you for sharing that. Let's see. Joey? Kim, anybody in there want to share anything? Joey's just not me. Okay, hang on a second. Mama's going to share something. Joey says, no, I ain't got nothing. Joey's doing good, everybody. The Lord's doing a work in him. He's stuck around some interesting battles, and the Lord's had to humble him a little bit, but he's a good brother. He's sticking around. He's in for the long haul, I think.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to get on and say something. Last week, I made a mistake in something that I said, and I kind of felt bad about it, and I thought, so I want to get on here and correct it. When I was talking about that war, that last war of Armageddon that's over in the mountains of Israel, and I said that it would take 7 years to bury the dead, that was wrong. In the 39th chapter of Ezekiel, it says it will take 7 years to bury the weapons, to burn the weapons, to burn all the weapons, but it will take 7 months to bury the dead. And I just want to make that right, because that was an error, 7 years. It's 7 months to bury the dead. That was all I wanted to say about that. But, you know, I think I want to say a little something about healing tonight, just a little bit. You know, David said in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And you know, sometimes if we have a health problem for a time, we don't feel so fearfully and wonderfully made. But you know, we are. Some years ago, a Bible teacher in this area had a little study on the body and what the different organs of the body do to keep the body stable. The only one thing that I remember is that there's red and white corpuscles in our blood, and that if we cut our finger, multitude of little red corpuscles run to that area to healing, the healing process. And I thought, how marvelous that God has given us the potential in our body to heal itself. And while we do get help from doctors and all, God has put a potential in our body for healing. And if that potential for healing wasn't there, it doesn't matter what anyone would do, we wouldn't heal. But so that takes us back to the fact that God is the healer. God is the healer. And I just praise his name tonight that we're in him and that we can fully trust in him. And, you know, I thank the Lord for the surgeons that are going to help with this kidney transplant. I thank the Lord for the knowledge that they have and that he's given some of them. But I know that it goes back to him, that he's the great healer. And our trust is in him. Our trust is in him who made these bodies. My sister Irma, whenever we have a need of prayer, we call her. And she immediately gets a burden and goes to prayer. And Joey said she's like a little red corpuscle. Whenever something happens, she rushes to the area in prayer to help pray for the situation. And most of the time, God hears her prayers. And I just am so thankful that we belong to him. We sang that song, Precious Moments, Privileged People. We are such a privileged people to belong to God through his son, Jesus. We are. Oh, It's so precious, these moments that we even share on this little Pal Talk program, that we can share with each other and help to bless each other. We're such a privileged people. And I just want to tell you, without a vision, the people perish. And I just want to say, we're going off here for a while, but you keep your vision fresh. Keep your goal in front of you. Your goal is to rule and reign with Christ and to spend eternity with God in his kingdom. Keep that vision fresh. Keep that goal ever before you. And whatever we have to go through in the next few years around on this old earth, keep the vision. Keep the vision there. Jesus said that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He didn't have a joyous life. He said he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. But because of the joy that he knew would come, because he was willing to lay down his life to bring forth sons and to bring forth children of God, that joy was what kept him going. And so keep your vision fresh. There's great things. The best is... The The best is yet to come. Believe me, the best is yet to come. And when the final healing comes to our body, when we have a body just like his precious body, we'll know that he's the great healer. Thank you and shalom.
Amen. Hallelujah. It will be worth it all. That's right, Sissy. Did you want to say something? Hang on a second. Sister Kim is going to say something. I'm just talking. There you go. That's it. Go ahead. Just talk.
Hi, everybody. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I just wanted to thank you all for your prayers for me and Dan, and just wanted to let you know that this has been a very wonderful experience. Mom and Dan have truly laid down their lives for me for the last 7 years, and I really appreciate it. And I'm really grateful to the Lord that he's allowing me to, in a way, lay down my life for Daniel and offer up my kidney to the Lord, and not just for Daniel, but for the Lord's kingdom, because Daniel is such a warrior in God's kingdom. And we want to keep him here. We love him. And I'm excited. I'm not scared at all about the surgery. I'm just excited. I can't wait to go on that operating table and have them take out my kidney. There's one doctor that's going to take out my kidney, and then there's another doctor that takes care of the kidney, I guess, after they get it out. And then there's the doctor that will put the kidney into Daniel. So there's a really good surgical team that I hope the Lord is going to work through, that the Lord will touch them when they're working on me and Dan. And I guess the most wonderful part of this whole experience has been when I found out that me and Dan were compatible, and they said it was such a blessing. They said that him and I are even more compatible than brothers and sisters. Sometimes there are 6 matches that people have when they get their kidneys cross-matched to see if you can be a potential donor. And out of the 6, Dan and I have 2 that are perfect matches. And they said even sometimes a biological brother and sister don't have that much of a match. And so that was just a real blessing to me. I felt that the Lord made me Daniel's sister, you know, even though it's, you know, spiritually in the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for this opportunity. And Lord bless you all. Good night.
Amen. We're all praying Kim gets a big reward for this. Big reward. Anybody else? Well, let me see here. I'll put a scripture up here. You guys can see that, right? Revelation 2:26, 2:27, and 2:28. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power of the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received my Father, and I will give them the morning star. I just want to say 2 things about that. He that overcometh and keepeth my works. He that overcometh, in the Greek there, it doesn't just mean he that overcometh in past tense, like you overcame some kind of sin, you overcame some kind of problem in the past sense. It also means he that is overcoming, presently overcoming. You know, so it's very important that we're overcoming the thing that God has in front of us each day. You know, we can't take everything that's wrong with us, put it in one lump sum, and overcome it all in one day. We couldn't do that. But God shows us each day we have a battle before us. And we may face the same battle for 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years until we finally get over it. And then we get over that battle, get victory over it. There's another battle right before us. God keeps bringing stuff to our attention. And we're only responsible to overcome those things that the Holy Spirit points out to us. We're not responsible to overcome everything everybody else has to overcome. We're not responsible to overcome everything that's listed, you know, everywhere else. We're only responsible to overcome the things the Holy Spirit is pointing out to us, right? And as long as we're overcoming those things every day, we're an overcomer. As long as you're presently overcoming the thing God's put before you, and you're not under it, you're not being defeated by it, you're not living under its influence, under its power, you're on top of it, you're an overcomer. Okay, he was overcoming, not just who has overcometh all these things in the past as God brought him. You got a list, you got a history with God of overcoming this sin and that sin and this relationship and this desire, blah, blah, blah. But it's overcoming. Are you overcoming today, now, the thing that's in front of you? He that is overcoming, okay, and keepeth my works. That means keepeth the Lord's commandments, keepeth his testimony, keepeth his life, the way he lived, the walk to the cross. Either keep what the Lord says, keep what the Lord showed you in your own life and personal life in the scripture. Keep his commandments he's given you personally and the commandments of the scripture. You keep it and you walk in overcoming presently life. You're going to rule and reign with Jesus in the next age. You're going to rule with a rod of iron. You know, that's a wonderful promise. A wonderful promise. And that's what I've been striving after. Not because I want to rule over people. Not because I want to be, you know, ahead of everybody and rule over people. But because I want to do it. I want to attain that to which God has offered me and laid out for me. You know, all through the book of Revelation, in the first two chapters, all those seven churches, he says, I know thy works, I know thy works, I know thy works. And if your works ain't up to snuff, if your works ain't, or if you're not overcoming, get down to serious business with God. Get in prayer, get on your knees, and get some steel until you're overcoming. Okay? It's his will that we overcome. It's his will that we rule the nations. That's a prize that he wants us to gain. Not because we want to be somebody and we want to have power over people, but he wants us to have power over the nations. He wants us to be with him where he is, and he is sitting in God's throne. And he's going to break the nations, going to break all the rebellion in the next age, and rule them with a rod of iron. And once they're broken and in their place and in submission, they'll have peace, true peace. And they'll enjoy this life. They'll be able to plant and grow food and have families, the same nations, and they'll enjoy a benevolent king and benevolent princes rule over them after they're broken. Okay? So that's what God wants for us. Don't ever listen to anybody say, oh, you want to rule over people. You got some kind of elitist mentality. You just want to rule over people. You want to rule over other Christians. I don't want to rule over Christians. I wish every Christian would make it, and the only people we're ruling over would be the same nation. That's what I want. I don't know if that's the way it's going to turn out or not. I'm not God. I'm not in charge of this program. But I know that God wants us to be able to rule over the saved nations in the next age, regardless of whatever happens to the rest of the Christians. All right? And we can do that by his grace. We can't do it with our own strength alone. We must have his help. We must have his power and wisdom. But we must also use our wills and our strength and every ounce we have in us to fight this fight. And fight it to the death. Fight the enemies of God to the death. So they don't come back. Amen. If we'll do that, we will overcome. We'll be found overcoming when he comes. And that's a blessed thought. A very blessed thought. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. That's why I fight. That's why I do what I do. Just to hear that little one sentence. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That I brought honor to his name. I love that song. They bring honor to your name. You know, turn my heart, O Lord. So in the end, I can bring honor. My name can bring honor to your name. The name of Daniel Mace can bring honor to God's name. It won't be a black mark on his name. He won't have to be saved by grace in spite of all the sin and loses all his rewards, have everything burned up by fire, the kingdom by the skin of his teeth. But I'll have God honor. My name will bring the Lord God of Israel honor. That's what I want. And that's what I want for everybody who's been listening to me and everybody who's in the same stream. You know, on the same page, so to say. Amen. So that's why I try and give the, you know, encourage people by what I say these Sunday nights. Like Mom says, without a vision, the people perish. So keep the vision clear. Keep your mind on heavenly things. Keep your mind on spiritual things. And your vision will stay clear. And you have the strength to fight. Amen. Alrighty. Well, I guess we'll close it then if nobody has anything else to say. I've done all the talking I'm going to do for a while. I'll put some news, little news bulletins on my website after the operation to keep people informed. So, you know, probably a week after the 18th or maybe 3 or 4 days or something, check in my website. I'll put some notices up, you know, as things go by. By the way, I want to tell you, I got something on my website right now. I don't know if anybody's been on my website since yesterday. There's a little thing that came out November 1st. It's pretty new by an organization that, it's against inflation, and they give you a real good scoop on the present condition of this country, you know, just from a financial point of view, and it's pretty good. I didn't put up there so we could all get upset and try and save the country or anything like that. Just a reminder of where we're at, and you might want to watch. It's a little bit over an hour long, but it's very interesting, and these guys are right dead on for where they're at, and just to let you know where we're at in the scheme of things as far as this nation goes, this country goes. I'm not crying that we lost our liberty. We're supposed to lose our liberty when we come to Christ. We have no liberty except in Christ. We're supposed to be slaves of Jesus. We're not supposed to be running around doing it we want, however we like to do it, like the rest of America. But it's still good to watch what happened to this nation. All right, so last call. Anybody else before we shut her down? All right. I thank you all for coming all these 2 years and being faithful to come. And we'll see you when I get back, God willing, and the river don't rise.